If I could sing like that, I would, all right? Thank you, Stacy Wolf. Man, she's got lungs. Thank you so much. Where do I begin? I'm not worried about the ending. I'm just worried about the beginning this morning. You know, I got caught up on my tithing for all month. I'm going to get caught up on my preaching. So it'll be about 4 hours, all right? Somebody told me Dr. Fullerton let us out last week at 10:30. He'll never be back. He'll never be back. You never get out at 10:30, never. But I am so full of preaching this morning. I really am. God has greatly refreshed Patsy and I. Thank you so much. This is a good church. We're very blessed to be part of Lindsay Lane. You have honored us in our sabbatical, our time of rest. Sabbatical comes from the word Sabbath, which means rest. And so we've had time to rest and relax and get to know one another again. And I'm telling you, I've had a list of honeydews. I'm glad to be back. And we have just had a great time of relaxing. I was with my family last week. You're talking about relaxing. I was with 8 teenagers, 2 preschoolers, 2 daughters, 2 son-in-laws, and 1 wife, all right? So I am in the same house, So I am relaxed. I love my family. We had a great family vacation last week. Patch and I got to celebrate our 41st anniversary on the 20th. And so we've been refreshed. We got to go to some other churches. Hey, it's kind of cool. I got to go as a church member. I mean, just walk in, try to get somebody out of their pew. That was fun. Get out of that pew. I'm a visitor. And so I got to do that and just be a church member, relax, and criticize. It was awesome, man. Just complain about the message and all this music, all of that. It was awesome to be a church member. I'm kidding, of course. But it was great for Patsy and I just to go to 4 different churches. We went to Cross Point, Mount Zion, to Clemens Baptist Church. And last week we worshiped in Panama City at Woodstock. They have a church plant there. Johnny Hunt was there preaching. So we had a great time. But I want to tell you something. All the churches, there is not a Lindsay Lane out there. I'm telling you what, this is, I'm like Dorothy. I want to go home, all right? I want to go home. And I am home, and I'm glad to be here today, and I appreciate you so much. Dr. Jerry Vines said it like this: some members need to take a 6-month sentence to a dead church, and they would appreciate their vibrant church. I'm telling you, I appreciate Lindsay Lane Baptist Church. And speaking of churches, that's what I want to talk to you about today. I mean, I asked God, been alone with Him, and got on the beach the other day. One thing about going to the beach, I get up early, and I get on the beach before anybody else gets there, and the sun's not even up, and I get to walk and talk with God. And it's awesome, just talking to Him out loud, you know. And so God began to speak into my heart what I might say today before we go into our 2 services next week. I'll be in the book of John. I'm preaching through the book of John on a subject, a series entitled The Life and Times of Jesus. See, the Gospels talked about, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talked about the ministry of Jesus, but John talked about the life of Jesus. So next Sunday, we'll be going into a series entitled The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited about that. But I want to talk to you about the church. I want to give you a few things. I don't know how this is all going to come out. I've got so much in today to get out. And so I just want to talk to you today as your pastor, as your shepherd, and let you know that I love you dearly. I love Christ Church. I really do. I'm part of it. And I'm an under-shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And so I have a great flock here at Lindsay Lane that I get to pastor and preach to as well as I preach to myself. And so I want to talk to you about the church. I got a lot of questions today. You know, Jesus had a lot of questions. You ever read the Bible and look at all the questions that Jesus asked? Most of them were rhetorical because He knew the answer. Matter of fact, all of them were. But I want to ask you a few questions. Speaking of the church, that's what I want to do today. Here's what I want to do. Here's the premise of my message. I want to reel us back in. I've been on sabbatical. You've been on sabbatical, some of you. You've been away from the church or maybe vacation or whatever. You know, travel ball, all kind of stuff. You've been out and about and all of that. So today I want to reel us all in. Let's get recommitted and refocused, okay? So I want to do that. I want you to do that. So that's what I'm going to talk about today, is helping us as a Christian, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple of Christ is a follower of Christ. It's not just a church attender. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. We adhere to His Word, His principles, His precepts. We follow Him. We live like Him. We take on the characteristics, the attitude of Jesus as He showed us as He came to earth in the form of a human for 33 and a half years. We are to be like Jesus Christ. So what does it look like? What is the church trying to do as we gather here this morning in the name of Jesus, in His church, as the body of Christ, Him being the head? So what does all of this mean, coming to church? Why do you come to church? What's the purpose of me being here and you being here this morning? Have you ever thought about that? As you got up this morning and got ready, what was the purpose in all of this? And so I want to talk to you about that, because I really believe we need to get a refocus and a re-understanding of what it means to be a Christian disciple, the follower of Christ, and even what it means to go to church. And so as I ask these questions, I want you to think about them. How do you view church? What is your worldview or your personal view of church? Do you view church as a spiritual need in your life? Is coming to Lindsay Lane and worshiping Him and growing in Him, is that a spiritual need in your life? Is worshiping God in the local church, is that a priority in your life? Is going to church, coming to Lindsay Lane, worshiping God, studying His Word, is that a priority in your life? Really, is it? So it's a good question. Do you like church? Is it boring? Do you even like it? Do you like coming? And so these are questions we need to understand. Do you view church a lot like dieting, which I'm about to start again? What do you mean, Pastor? Do you view church like dieting, abstaining from a lot of things that you really would like to be doing? Is that your view of church? Well, I got to go this morning. You know, God wants me to go. Pastor Dusty wants me to come. I got to do it for the name of Jesus. Is that your view of church? Is that your attitude like dieting? And so these are difficult questions, but these are things we need to understand. Mark Twain said this: the only way to keep your health is to eat what you don't want, drink what you don't like, and do what you'd rather not do. Dieting is hard, isn't it? You know why dieting is so hard? Because you got to refrain from some of the things the flesh wants, like double stuffed Oreos, which I had a whole bag this week, all right? Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't know how many trips we made because the light was on, all right? And so if you want to have a nice six pack or even one can, all right, you've got to stay away from those things if you really want to be in shape. So there's a time in your life you got to discipline yourself to say no. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to watch that. I'm going to church today. It's a priority in my life. Why? Because I want to grow as a disciple of Christ. That's my priority. The world has a lot of distractions. But Jesus says, come unto me. And so we're here today because Jesus is here. You say, well, He's out there too. Yes, He is. But you know that Jesus went to church? You know, He taught in the church, in the temple. So if He did that, don't you think it's good enough for us to come? It needs to be a priority in our life. My priority, your priority. And there's times in our lives that we have to struggle with that. Let's be honest. Dieting is a struggle for me. I like double stuffed Oreos. I like cupcakes that Gloria brought me this morning trying to diet, all right? So I've got a dilemma. And I like to eat them, so I usually do, so I have to go work out because I can't refrain from some things. And so if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, you've got to learn to discipline your spiritual life to say no to some things that your flesh would like to be doing. Amen? That's just the way it works. It's called discipline. It's called commitment. It's called dedication to the Lord and to His church. It really is. And so that's the only way I know to put it. So I want to talk about some of these things today. Eating a healthy diet usually produces a healthy body. Amen? Same thing spiritually. When you discipline yourself spiritually, it usually produces a spiritual, healthy disciple. But sometimes we don't want to grow. Now I'm going to show you a video just in a second. I want you to watch this video. There's times in our life we just flat out don't want to grow. I'm not going to Sunday school. Sunday school's not a priority in my life. I don't grow there. I'm not going to Life University. These things that help you to grow. There's other things, I know. But these are things we have here at Lindsay Lane to help you grow as a Christian. But sometimes we just flat out don't want to grow, and we may not even want our spouse to grow. I don't know. But this little girl named Sadie, she did not want her brother to grow up. Watch this. This is interesting. Do you really want to grow? Do you want your children to grow? Now, physically, I wish Joe, Darren, and Haley sometimes were like that little one there. I really do. But I would be doing them an injustice if I kept them that age, wouldn't I? They'd never met Chuck and Heath. Oh, my word. I'd never have six, are y'all listening? Seven grandchildren. We are pregnant. Amen. Where's Joe Dare at? Stand up, Joe Dare. Stand up. She's about to have the perfect number. Number seven. Yes. Bradley, what do you think about that, brother? Bradley showed y'all his little grandson. I'll show y'all when she gets a little further along, all right? Yeah, we're having number seven. It's awesome. You know, and we would like to keep our children sometimes, you know, from growing up, but you can't do that. You can't do it spiritually either. Why would you? Why would you not want to grow in Christ? Please answer that question. Why wouldn't you want to grow? Why would you stay the same? There's churches that have been the same for 100 years. There's Christians or so-called Christians that have been the same for 50 and 60 years. They've never grown up. They never applied themselves. They never disciplined themselves. They never had a priority to grow. If you don't make it a priority, it won't happen. You can go by the gym all you want. You won't lose a pound. Until you get on the treadmill or the spinning bike, which I'll be doing at 5 o'clock in the morning. I will. Jamie will be right there beside me. Gloria may be. It's still up. Judge still out on that. But I have to do that. I don't have to. I choose to go in the morning at 5 o'clock. I discipline myself to do that because I don't want to get fat. I mean, I don't know how to say it. And so I come to Lindsay Lane, I come to Sunday school, I come to Life University, I apply myself to these things so I can grow spiritually because I don't want to drift away. I don't want to be a bullseye for Satan out there. So I'm putting on the armor. Amen? It's called spiritual growth. And I want to talk to you about that. I've got 5 messages. And so I'm going to skip some of this stuff, all right? But turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, as I say that, I want to say this. This coming Wednesday night, I'm starting a new book. I'm preaching through the epistles of Paul. And this Wednesday night at 6:30, I'll start 1 Timothy. It's an interesting book. And 2 Timothy. Women, be silent in the church. Oh, my word. We're going to talk about that? Yes. What am I going to say? I don't have a clue. Patsy hadn't told me yet, all right? You got to come on Wednesday night to find out. That's part of growing, isn't it? Making Wednesday night part of your priority of spiritual growth. We got plenty of room on Wednesday nights. Got things for the kids, children's choir, things like that. So I'm going to challenge you right now to be here Wednesday night as we open the book of 1 Timothy. Today I'm going to preach from chapter 4, a few verses. Look in verse 6. Verse 6. If you instruct me, brethren, he's writing to the church, and today I'm speaking mostly to the church, Christians, those who need to be Christians. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus. All right. Nourished in the word of faith of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. This is Paul writing to young Timothy. Now look what he says to him in verse 7. But refrain, shun profane and old wise fables, those things that are not doctrinal, those things you don't need in your life, shun those things. And exercise yourself toward godliness. Now, we love in America to exercise. When I was in Destin this week, I'd get up early. I saw so many joggers. I bet you none of them was jogging to church. Just a thought, but I don't think they were. Exercise yourself, and you do need to exercise physically. You really do. But exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily jogging, spinning, treadmilling, for bodily exercise, it profits a little. Keep you in shape physically. But godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. Let me give you an example. I just thought of this, so I don't know how it's going to come out. Let's just say this is my physical body. This is Dusty. And let's say I'm going to the gym in the morning at 5 o'clock, get on my spinning bike, and I'm going to exercise. What's that going to do for me? Well, it's going to help me when I eat those cupcakes Gloria got me, all right? It's going to help me with that. It's going to kind of counteract. See, I don't go to lose weight. I go to maintain, all right? But so anyway, my physical body, I'm going to be on the bike in the morning. I'm going to lose about 650 calories or so, somewhere around there. And so I get to replenish that when I get home. But anyway, I'm doing that. It's a cycle I'm in. And I'm 61 years old. I'm exercising. I'm trying to stay in shape. All right, here I go. Now, how long am I going to last doing that? Well, if I'm lucky, I'll get to be 90. Boy, that'll be joyful, won't it? Y'all come visit me in the nursing home? Anyway, I'm 90 years old. So all this exercising, keeping my weight down, keeping my heart in shape, all of that's good. It profits for a while. But think about this. This is Dusty McLemore, disciple of Jesus Christ. Coming to Lindsay Lane, worshiping God. Coming to Sunday school this morning under Freddie Leonard's teaching. I'll be here next Sunday night teaching in the Life University, growing as I teach and all of that, preaching and all of that, reading my devotions every day. I'm growing in the Lord. I'm getting strong in the Lord. How long is that going to last? Are y'all listening? Forever! It don't make sense. All the money, the energy we spend over here for 20, 30 more years, maybe an extra 10. But if you'll exercise yourself spiritually, get your priorities right, start growing in the Lord, you'll live forever. And by the way, you'll have a good time here doing it. Because you'll feel a lot better about yourself. And when Pastor Dusty preaches a message like this, you say, oh, he stepped on my toes. I feel so guilty. The question would be, why? Why would we feel so guilty? I'm just preaching the word. Amen? See, we don't think so simple. This is just a simple message. But we don't think about it that way. In the morning, we'll get in the rat race. We'll be pulled from both ends. And then Wednesday night I come, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says go to church on Wednesday night or Sunday night or even Sunday, really. Well, there is a few things. And so there you go. You begin to rationalize. You begin to drift away from God. And my friends, when you drift away from God, you're in trouble. I was up early this morning reading my devotions before I started going over my message today. I do that. I try to read them every morning. This is in the Word for You Today. We have that free, by the way. We offer that to you. It's called the Word for You Today. This is one of them. It says in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 12, 1, it says, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. How shall we escape if we neglect such a salvation? And then it went on to say this. Listen to this. When you neglect God, you will begin to drift away. Your prayers aren't as effective. You're no longer a bodily influence on those around you. You slip back into the old habits. You are no longer forgiving those who offended you. You fail to make amends to those whom you've hurt. You start doing what's expedient and comfortable instead of what's right. You harbor attitudes of fear and resentment. You feel your old nature and neglect your new one. You feed your old nature and neglect your new one. These are all signs that you need a spiritual checkup. Word for you today. It's very apropos to my message today, isn't it? Do you need a spiritual checkup this morning? Have you drifted away from God, from His Word, from priorities of growing spiritually? Have you put a lot of emphasis on bodily exercise versus spiritual godliness? And so this is a tough question your pastor's asking me and you this morning, but it's also pertinent and relevant to where we live. It really is. And so as we look at that, I want to talk to you about that. And so here's a little test, a little self-evaluation for me and you. Let's do this together. Would you consider yourself a spiritual, growing, disciple, Christian, disciple of Christ? Would you consider yourself that, yes or no? Number two. Are you infecting others with your spiritual walk? Are you influencing your children spiritually? Are you influencing your coworker, your classmate, your peer group? Are you influencing them spiritually? Could your friends, your relatives, coworkers, could they catch the love of Jesus from you? Are you contagious with Jesus? If sharing the love of Christ were a virus, would others become infected? These are profound thoughts we need to ask. And so we do that. Now, Warren Wiersbe had a good quote. I got in your outline. Warren Wiersbe said this in his book, Being a Servant of God. He wrote, life is built on character, but character is built on decisions. The decisions you make, small or great, do to your life what the sculptor's chisel does to a block of marble. You are shaping your life by your thoughts, your attitudes, and your actions, and becoming either more or less like Jesus Christ. That's a good word, isn't it? And so you got the chisel. God's already helping you with the Holy Spirit. But you got the chisel in your hand, and every day you're making a decision. Am I going to grow spiritually? And you're chipping away that flesh that so easily, and the sin so easily besets us. You're chipping those things away and you're growing spiritually. Or the opposite. You're drifting away from God and you're not growing. There's no chisel. You're getting on that fleshly fat of the world. And it's bogging you down. You're getting out of shape spiritually. You really are. You're drifting. You're distracted. And you're not becoming more like Jesus, you're becoming less like Jesus. So we need to think about these things. And so the bottom line is, are you a healthy Christian? And on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you be? 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say you are, grade yourself in this evaluation test? Where are you spiritually on a scale of 1 to 10, spiritually speaking? My next question is, why aren't we a 10? And here's another one. What's keeping us from becoming a 10? What is it in our life that's keeping us from growing spiritually? You and I can identify a lot of those things, can't we? I can, and you can too. And so we got to work, right? We got to work out our salvation. Christ has worked it in. He saved us. The Spirit of God is in us. And then we work out our salvation. We begin to implement it. William James said it like this. Here's a spiritual growth principle. William James said this: the best use of life is spent for something that will outlast it. You know, we're over here on this spinning machine, this treadmill. What's that going to outlast? You trying to cheat death? We are, aren't we, really? You can't. Or are you working over here on your spiritual life, growing in the Lord, knowing you're going to be with Him forever, and being more like Jesus every day? You say, Pastor, that's a hard task. Well, it is, but it's where we are. That's a disciple of Christ. There's a difference in being a church attender, even a Christian, than being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know what our purpose statement is here at Lindsay Lane? I hope you know it by now. Making disciples who worship, grow, and serve. That's why I'm preaching messages like this, because I want to help make you a disciple. I want to help lead you to be a disciple. And all I can do is preach and teach and encourage. I am an encourager. My gift's encouragement. It really is. I like to encourage people. You know, we need to be encouraged, don't we? I'm on social network too, by the way. That's dangerous. But I keep up with a lot of stuff there, a lot of things going on in our world, fallen Israel and the Hamas and all of that right now, and a lot of our people, a lot of things. And this morning, God got a hold of my heart and my devotion. See, here's why you have devotions. Here's how you grow as a Christian. Now, I'm saying this because I've been a Christian for a long time. Some of you only been a Christian for just a few years maybe, but I've been a Christian for a long time. I should be growing, right? And so I'm reading my devotions this morning. Here's how God works. I promise you, if you'll get in the Word of God, He'll speak to you. He always does. When you're serious about priority, you're serious about growing in the Lord, He'll speak to you. He does it through His Word, through His Spirit. He began to speak to me this morning. I was in my devotion called God's Wisdom for You. And I'm just reading Psalms 119. It's the longest book in the Bible, 176 verses. And so every day in this devotional I'm in, I'm reading a portion of Psalms 119. And I got to verse 143 and 144, and God put on my heart to text Sonny. God brought Sonny to my heart. Some of you may not know, and you should know, that Sonny's wife, Suzanne, died of cancer. And so I've been praying for Sonny, and I've been trying to text him, encourage him some, but this morning, Sonny, it was you, brother, on my heart. And so I took that verse of Scripture that God gave me. He said, Sonny, Sonny. And I texted him about 4:30, wasn't it? And so sometimes I forget what time it is when I text. My daughter say, Daddy, what are you doing texting me? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Get up. And so he just put me, and I was just sitting there praying for Sonny. My heart was hurting for my friend. And see, that's how God grows you. That's how God works. It's not about me and what all I can get out of life. It's about others. And God will draw you to others. And His Word will lead you to think about others as He grows you. As He grows you. And so there it is. And we must learn to prioritize our spiritual growth. Jesus said in John 15:4, we'll get to there eventually, abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You need the vine. If you're going to be a branch, you got to be plugged into the vine. If you don't, you'll dry up. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you abiding in His Word? Do you have prayer time? I prayed for Drew Bowman, too. Drew is my buddy. I see Jeff and Dino back there. I've been praying for him. He's on a mission sabbatical. He's been to 11 countries. He'll be in 11 countries by the time he gets back, and he's lost weight. And I'm following him on Twitter because I don't know how to do the others, but I'm following him, and I catch Dean every now and then. But I'm praying for Drew. Man, he's over there in another country, dedicated a year of his life away from all the stuff, McDonald's, going on to movies, dating. Oh, my. He's refraining from all of those things to do what? Grow in the Lord. I can't wait to talk to him when he gets back. God's going to use that experience. Oh, my. Why would he do that? I mean, he just graduated from Alabama. He's got a beautiful girlfriend. So why would he do such a thing? Could it be that maybe he just wants to grow as a disciple of Christ? I mentioned three colleges. I'm going to be very blunt with this. Samford, Mobile, and Judson. Before you send them to Alabama or Auburn, check out those. It may develop into something that will outlast them. Just a thought I had. I have a lot of them. I've been out for a month, all right? So I'm getting a lot of thoughts here. I'm not going to get to this outline. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm just preaching from my heart this morning. And so, but you're not going to get through at 10:30. We're already past that. You didn't even expect it, did you? I'll tell you what I will do. Let me say this before I move to the 4 points, and I'll talk about those, and I'll quit on time. One of the things that I've been thinking about in my time with the Lord is quitting on time. You know why? Because I've been sitting where you are. That, by the way, that's worth sabbatical, amen? The mind cannot absorb what the tail can't endure. I'm telling you that. I don't know that Greek word for that. But I've been out there where you are. I can understand this sometimes. So I've kind of made a commitment to kind of quit. I got a clock right here, and I'm going to quit in about 5 minutes. Or six. My 5 minutes are not your 5 minutes, and my ways are not your ways, all right? But they're close. And so I really want to hone on this because God spoke to my heart, and it wouldn't be right for your pastor to get along with God and say, speak into my heart so I can share a word Sunday morning. And for us not to hear from God. This is where we are. This is the culture we're in. The devil's going to make sure you're pulled here, you're pulled there, you're distracted over here, you're distracted over there, and before you know it, you're drifting away, and you're in the valley of used to be. I used to be a deacon. I used to go to Sunday school. Used to be faithful. I was a leader. I used to be, until I got distracted and started working out physically and neglected my spiritual godliness. And you're in the valley of has been and used to be. And I'm preaching this message for me and for you to let's get out of this rut. You know, our church year starts in September 1. We're almost there. Next week, we're going into 2 services. I got to do this twice. Now, let me say that again. I get to do this twice. I really do. And I'm speaking to our young people. I'm excited, young people. Bring your friends. I'm going to have my shirt tail out. We're going to rock, all right? My hair's growing out again. Amen? And so I'm going to be speaking to the young people at 8:45, sharp. Be here. And then 10:30, I get all the rest of you. And so we're going to talk about these things, but my heart is for this church to grow. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be your pastor. God only knows that. Patsy and I don't know. But while I'm here, I want my time to count. I want to invest in this church, not only financially, but I want to invest my life into this church. I've been here 22 years, and so I want it to count for something. I don't want to go before Jesus one day and say, well, I wished I'd done that. I thought about it, but I never did it. I want to hear, well done, Dusty. You were faithful. You were obedient. You were dedicated to me and my word and to my church. Did you hear that? My church. Upon this rock, I will establish my church, Jesus said. This isn't just something you do to feel good. This isn't just a place to come and hang out. This is the church of the living Christ. And we get to come to church. Somebody said, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? You do to be a good one. Do I have to go home to kiss my wife and hug my children? No, I don't. That's where I do it most of the time. I hang out with them at home. Do you hang out with Jesus at home? Is church a priority to you? Is worshiping and growing, serving a priority for you and I? That's the question of the day, isn't it? And this outline is a good one. I spent a lot of time on it. I'm thinking about reneging on that thought I had. Boy, this is a good outline. I'm trying to find what Chuck Colson said. Here it is. Chuck Colson said this. It's a good word. His book, The Body. You know that he was in prison? That's where he met Jesus, in prison. He was a Watergate guy. He was all about the world. Then he met Jesus in prison. In this world, you'll have trials and tribulations. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's where he met Jesus. And so he met Jesus, and he wrote in his book, The Body, if your religion doesn't get you to church, it's doubtful it'll get you to heaven. I like that. If your religion's not enough to even get you to church, I doubt it'll get you to heaven. So you need a spiritual checkup. I do too. I get distracted too. There's a lot of stuff I like to do and be a part of. Isn't it great that God says you can have this life abundantly? Even here. He doesn't mind you going shopping. He don't mind you playing golf. He don't mind you going fishing, doing all this kind of stuff. Hey, live life. Have a good time. But make him priority. And you'll never regret it. I'll close with this. Again, take that outline and Kim will give you the answers. I'm grateful for all the emails that I get. Let me go ahead and close my Bible. I won't be tempted to keep preaching. See, it's only 10:40. I'm a man of my word. You know, I'm grateful for all the emails that I get. And I'm telling y'all, I get a lot of emails. I spend a lot of time. So what do you do all day here at Lindsay Lane? Well, I do a lot of stuff, but I'm telling you, there's about an hour or so I spend on emails. They're yours. Most of them are yours. And people ask me theological questions. It takes time to answer those. I look them up, look in the Bible, try to give you a good answer. But I'm grateful for these emails I've been getting. Pastor Dusty, ever since I've been coming to Lindsay Lane, I've been growing as a Christian. Boy, I tell you what, I'm so glad God led me to Lindsay Lane. You wouldn't believe how much I've grown in the past year. You wouldn't believe the Sunday school class, how they ministered to me, and how I've grown through Sunday school. You just wouldn't believe it. I love Life University. I'm in one of the classes talking about marriage with Eric and Miss Susan. They have helped me so much in my marriage. My kids are coming home talking about Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Dusty, for preaching the word. Thank you for leading us. Oh, I love those emails. And I get a lot of those. And a lot of you are growing. But some of you are not. Let's just be honest. We're here to be honest today. We're not criticizing, not condemning. We're just preaching, trying to help you. Some of you are not growing in Christ like you should be. And the answer to the question is, why aren't you? What's distracting you from growing as a Christian? What is it in your life that's hindering you from being a 10? Maybe you're all the way up to 6. Why not an 8 for Jesus' sake, for the glory of God? Quit spending so much time bodily exercising and start doing some godliness for a change. It'll help make a difference in your life. You really will. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for speaking truth into our hearts. Lord, we need you so desperately. I've been reminded this month even how much I miss the church, my church. I've been going to church. I've been attending. But Lord, I've missed the fellowship. I've missed the teachings and being with Freddie in my Sunday school class and just missed being on my staff and just missed being with Lindsay Lane. I was with the guys this morning in prayer room and felt so good to pray with those men and feel so good to worship with Dwayne and our choir and orchestra and come in here and felt good to give this morning. Patch and I wrote that check out for the month and Lord, it felt good. It really did. It didn't hurt. Felt good to give back to you and to be in your presence because I know this is eternity. This is an eternal thing. It's not temporary. It's not just something to make me feel good. I come to church because I'm in love with Jesus. I want to hear more about it. I want to grow and apply myself. And so, Father, thank you that I get to come to church. Thank you that I get to be a disciple of Christ. 1979, you changed my life, gave me a new nature. I'm not old sinner anymore. I'm a saint. For that, I'm gloriously thankful. And now, Lord, I pray for the invitation. There's going to be a lot of people right now when they stand up, they're going to be thinking about, you know what he said's right. I'm not growing. I'm not even a Christian. Or I used to be. There was a time in my life, boy, I was close to God, just not much anymore. I'm praying for those and those thoughts. I pray right now that you would refrain and keep Satan from hindering us right now in Jesus' name. Bind him. Bind those thoughts that say, wait for a better time. Don't listen to that. You're all right. Bind Satan in the name of Jesus. And I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to move miraculously right now, Lord. Convict us where we are. Help us, convince us, encourage us. Let us grow in the Lord to be more like Jesus because he became to be like us. And I pray, Lord, as he died and rose again, that we would be like him. Help us, Father. We desperately need you. Let this invitation pierce our hearts and draw us to you right now. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Let's stand together. Brother Sonny's here. Brother Bradley's here. Alan's over there. These men are here to help you. If you have a decision to make, you want to talk to them, be sure and do that. The altar's open here. We've got over there now and over here, even right here. Won't you come and pray about this? God's spoken to your heart. And if we can help you in any way, that's why we're here. But don't worry about us. You just come on and do what God's called you to do right now. He's spoken to our hearts today. I know for a fact God gave me this word to speak to the church today. And I pray we'd receive it with gladness and we'd respond as the Holy Spirit leads us. In Jesus' name, Dwayne, let's saying you come.
People need amen. The Lord.
That's right. You come on. God speaking, you come.
People need the Lord.
Don't wait. You come on.